today on Real Radio.
To buy a home of that expense and not even see it. You know what the response of his friend was to William Barclay? He said, I don't have to see the home. He said, I know that man's Christianity. And he builds homes like his Christianity. That's why I bought his house sight unseen. Is that a witness or what?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called A Church Made Ready, continues in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 with verses 6 through 15. The Apostle Paul wrote his second letter to the Thessalonian church to not only tell them about Christ's return, but to be ready for his coming. Paul continues his farewell message to the Thessalonians by reminding them to be specific in their prayers. They were to walk as Paul walked, following his word and deed. They had a faith that was tested, and yet they continued to grow. Difficult times will often expose what we are really made of, but the church managed to overcome through commitment and prayer. Today, Pastor Jack shares Paul's encouragement to the believer. We are to be a model of working hard and doing what is right. We are also not to grow weary in our witness and in sharing the gospel of Christ. For when we stand together in righteousness, there will be no cause for us to be ashamed. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
We're asking you to simply write a note, a paragraph, a sentence, a letter. That's all we need. A sense of community, a sense of stewardship, a sense of commitment. We are so committed to so many things. And yet this is our home. This is our home away from home until we go home to heaven. But we need to be investing in it. In Philippians 4:9, the Bible says, the things which you have learned, Paul said, and received and heard and saw. Isn't that amazing? The things that you've learned, things that you've received, heard and saw in me, these do. He says, get invested in the fellowship that you're in, and the peace of God will be with you. Very important. And by the way, we are to be serving Him because He's worthy of all service, and God will use you more and more. I get notes from people saying, I want to be used by God. That's good. Praise the Lord. We're glad to hear it. What are you doing now? Well, I don't know. I want to step out and get going. Good. Step out and go. Step out and get used by the Lord. And watch what happens. In Psalm 75:6, the Bible says promotion does not come from the east or from the west or from the south, and from the north for that matter, but from the Lord. Let's be faithful by investing in our fellowship, our time, our efforts, our prayers. It's so important. God will use us. Let's step out. To be involved in the fellowships, to be investing in a fellowship. So very important. I like this. I don't know if you'll catch this thought. If I can teach at all, you might be able to get it. When I was thinking about this, I so often think, or maybe you do too, I might bow my head and pray and say, God, just show me the ministry that you want me to be involved in. Well, the way God does that is I'm first going to see a need. Do you see a need in this church? Have you come in this morning and you thought, well, you know what? This church needs this. This church needs that. That is probably God speaking to you about doing it. Somebody mentioned recently that we need a bereavement ministry. You want to know how that came about? Through a death in that person's life. Hey, this church needs to have greeters out on the front. That's God speaking to you. And so there's greeters out in the front now. You see, God will often open your eyes to see the need, not to criticize, but to become part of a vested member of the local body to meet the need. Don't view it as some problem. View it as God speaking to you. When we moved to Chino Hills, we thought, well, it'd be kind of neat to have a Calvary out here. So God laid it upon our hearts for a home fellowship. If I would have known it was going to turn into this, we wouldn't have done it at all. There's a need. Respond to that. And then there's times when we'll think, God, just tell me what to do. Well, listen, God will tell us what to do if we're reading our Bibles. If we're not reading our Bibles, He will not tell us what to do. God, just take my life and make it your own. Well, we got to be willing to give it up to Him. And in Luke 2, verse 49, it says there, Jesus speaking, 12 years of age, said to His mom and dad, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" And so do we. We need to be about the Father's business. You can always find Jesus doing the Father's business. And you can always be blessed, people, if you are in a place where the Father is doing His business as well. Where the Father is, where the Son is, that's a good place to be. And in John chapter 2, verse 5, it says there that Mary, the mother of Jesus, said to the servants, "Whatever He says, do it." That's the last recorded words of Mary. Whatever He says, do it. I like that. But listen, investing in our local body will require spending. It will require a cost. Look what He says here. He says in verse 8, we worked. The word work, are you ready to write this down? The word worked in Greek means to work hard. You see the word labor? That word labor in Greek means to labor hard. You see the word toil? What does that word mean? No, it means to labor hard. Same word. Toil hard, work hard, labor hard. Why? So we might not be a burden among you. I'm going to say some things that might upset somebody here, which won't be the first time, I think. I want you to listen really carefully to this. We're all servants in this place. We're Christians. Jesus was a servant. Christian is to be the word, the title, little Christ, little servant. We're to be servants, and observations in order for our lives before we can establish an example into this. There are people, they may or may not be Christians. They're in or out of churches. They're not so hip on being a servant unless they're seen. They're not so excited about being a steward of what God has given them unless they get recognition. They live to be recognized. Paul toiled hard. What did he do? He made tents. You know that. On the off hours, he was making tents and selling them. He wasn't a burden to any of them. But there are those that I call kingdom builders. They prostitute the kingdom of God to build their own kingdom. They may be very gifted orators or very gifted teachers, but their agenda is to build it bigger and better and greater so that they might have a name. And that's an offense to Christ. They'll promote themselves. The ministry becomes a stage for them to display their wares. And you'll often hear them say, "My ministry." When they're interviewed on the radio or when they're talked to, they'll say, "What we're doing in my ministry is," and when I hear that, I'm sorry, maybe I'm wrong, but when I hear that, "my ministry," that tells me a long time ago that pastor or that evangelist's heart went awry a while back. My ministry? Listen, the Bible says no man takes this to himself. It's a call. What is God doing in your life? It's not yours. You have children, I have children, they're not ours. Life was given to them by God. It was our chance and our moment to instill within them a godly path. Then God takes them back. And then it comes a time when we say goodbye to them. Our job is done. Why? They've been on loan to us from God. And same with ministry. Tonight you're going to be hearing a concert. You know why? You want to know why Timothy Meany's here or any other music minister or guest speaker that we have in this church? I would like to have many others, but they will not be here. When you get faxes and stuff or phone calls from these Christian artists, so-called Christian artists that say, "We want a limo, we want a hotel room with this, and this is the kind of food we want. We want $1,500 up front and $1,500 right before I show up." And let me tell you something. No, thank you. Don't call yourself a minister or a ministry. If you're going to charge us through the nose, tell us up front. We're Christian performers. We charge this much money. Thank you for being honest. We're still not going to use you. This is serious stuff because the Hebrews taught their children growing up. It was a proverb among the rabbis. They said, if you don't teach your son a trade, you've taught him to be a thief. So that we wouldn't be chargeable to any man. But the music and the people that we have here, none of the guest speakers. We had John Wolford, one of the greatest living theologians alive today. Didn't ask for a dime. Because he's of God. We are either ministers of the heart, or we're not. And we're blessed to have people like Tim who love and serve Jesus without mentioning a thing. We had a situation one time when a guy, we said, well, no, we can't use you. Well, how about this much? He started out with some amount, thousands. No. Robin came back to me, well, he wants this much. No. Well, now he wants this much. You know, the price kept going down. No. And then I had to tell her, I said, you know what, tell that guy, if he was free, we could not afford him. It's a matter of the heart. But if we're servants, if we're ministers, let's minister. If you're going to have a crusade, if you're going to go out to reach the lost, if you're going to go around the world or down the street or a concert in the park to reach people, don't charge a dime. You know, I'm all hyped up about this. What am I telling you for? Because they won't let me say this at pastors' conferences. But if you're going to have a crusade, if you're going to have a concert, if you're going to reach out, don't charge. If you're going to present the gospel, I don't think you should take an offering. Church is different. This is the body of believers. We allow you to worship through giving. It's commanded in Scripture. But if I'm stepping on toes right now, let me just step on one more before I stop. And that is, Paul the Apostle said in 1 Corinthians 9:16, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this willingly, I have a reward. But if I do it under restraint or by command or obedience, then I am a trusted steward. What is my reward then? That when I preach the gospel, I may present the gospel of Christ free of charge. Whenever the gospel is presented to a non-believing context, there should never be a mention of money. I believe that strongly. But we need to be obedient to godly leaders because God has ordained them. God proves them over time. Their fruit can be inspected and approved of, and they have a vision for the future. Leaders have to be followers before they can ever be leaders. And by the way, leaders make mistakes. David made a lot of mistakes as the leader of Israel, a man after God's own heart. He even slept with a woman, murdered her husband, and yet God restored him. He made a great mistake. Peter made a great mistake in denying Jesus Christ, yet the Lord used him. But everything David did, everything Peter did it with a passion for the Lord Jesus. And in 1 Corinthians 10:31, the Scripture says, whatever you do, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do it all to the glory of God. That's where the Lord is at. Second to finally this, is the third point in verses 11 to 15. He says, for we hear that there are some among you who in a disorderly manner not working at all, but are busybodies. Now those who are such, we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. This is interesting. The word busybody means they walked all about to spread the news. They were gossips. Anybody who gossips needs a job or needs a task. They need something to do. Because they're not busy enough. Listen, idle hands, what's the old proverb? Idle hands is the devil's workshop, people would say. There's a lot of truth to that. People get into trouble when they're not busy. There are people walking around the church, oh, you know the Lord's coming back, let's just kick back. When they started to kick back, they got into trouble with their mouths. Started to spread things around. They became busybodies. Hey, what's going on? Oh, no kidding. Huh. Whew. Come on. We got to get that on the prayer chain. That's always the spiritual way to cover it up. Oh, Lord, we pray for Steve Johnson. He's got a problem with drugs again and seems to be slipping away. His family and all is all messed up. And, you know, If he doesn't come, and you know this, and wait, gossip. God doesn't hear that prayer. Gossip, busybody. In other people's business. It's wrong. Remember this, great thing. I honestly did not read this in the book. God taught me this a long time ago. And it's one of the two original thoughts I've ever had in my life. When somebody comes up and says, hey, did you hear about John? Ask him, do I need to know? Or the second original thought was, hey, I'd like to tell you about this and that and thus and so. And you say, well, before you do, can I quote you on it? Did you hear about Mike? Well, I haven't heard about Mike, but can I quote you if you're going to tell me? That's okay, really. That will be the response you get more than anything else. That's okay. I'll just pray about it. You don't need to hear it. Can I quote you on that? Listen, we don't need to be busy bodies. We need to be bodies that are busy. Doing the Lord's work. Glorifying Jesus in all that we do. There's a legend. Listen to this. There's a legend. I stress legend. It's found in church history, but we don't know how true it is, but you want it to be true after you hear it. This legend goes that when Jesus was an apprentice carpenter working for Joseph, that he made yokes for oxen that were so great, so perfect, that the fame of those yokes went throughout all the region before his earthly ministry began. So this is prior to his 30 years of age. And it was known by workmen to travel from great distances to buy one of his yokes. And it was said that even the animals seemed to perform better under less stress and less fatigue when they were wearing one of the yokes that Jesus the carpenter had made. That's a great story, and I wouldn't doubt it. It's probably true. But isn't it interesting that Jesus said in Matthew 11, come to me, all you who are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke. Take my yoke and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And tradition says that people would have went, hey, that's true. My ox has never worked better. He makes a great yoke. I'm going to give him my life. Do all to the glory of God. Know God. And watch what he does with you. But the beautiful thing is, when we're yoked to Jesus Christ, we can perform. The Christian should be the best at what he does. Are you a Christian mom? Be the best because you're a Christian mom. Are you a businessman? Be the best businessman. Listen, are you a Christian contractor? Do you do Christian tile? Then do it the best. Well, I have to charge more if I do it the best. It takes time. Well, then charge more if that's what you have to do. But be the best. Listen, don't put the scripture on your card or a dove or a fish on your advertisement if you are not a business of integrity. In fact, my personal thing is, if you have integrity in your business, you won't have to put a dove or verse or fish on your card. God will prosper you. Do it the best. Or don't do it at all. William Barclay said this of a friend of his. He said he had a friend who, standing in front of him, a man came up and said, hey, would you like to buy? I built a home. The guy couldn't afford it. Would you like to buy it? And he said, well, where is it? It was in a certain part of England. And the guy said, William Barclay's friend says, how much is it? And it was an incredible amount of money. Custom home. And the guy said, absolutely, I'll take it. Thanks. Shook hands and walked away. William Barclay says, how can you be such a fool to buy a home of that expense and not even see it? You know what the response of his friend was to William Barclay? He said, I don't have to see the home. He said, I know that man's Christianity. And he builds homes like his Christianity. That's why I bought his house sight unseen. Is that a witness or what? That's a witness. That's tremendous. That's powerful. Listen, In verses 11 and 15, we need to encourage the church on. Busybodies, okay, but look at verse 12. Now those who are such, we command you. Hey, church, we're telling you this. And exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. You see, these bums had caused the church to be tired and drained. These busybodies. And so what Paul is doing is he's encouraging the church to continue on. Go for it. Don't become weary. Listen, don't become exhausted at doing what you know is the right thing. People, isn't it funny that when we're tired of fighting, waiting, hoping, enduring, struggling, isn't it funny? We almost have a self-destruct mechanism in us. When we get hurt, shut down, put out, stomped on, we've got this weird, twisted thing within us that says, default, self-destruct, nobody loves me, I was standing for righteousness, I got slapped and put down, so I'm going to crash and burn. Why is it? It is weird. It is a weird thing. Paul says, no. Don't become fatigued at what you know is right, no matter what anybody does. Don't grow weary. And finally, this, for time's sake, we'll have to end it here. He says, verse 16 down to 18, now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace, always and in every way. The Lord be with you all. That's a great, great verse. The salutation of Paul with my own hand, which is a sign in every epistle, so I write. This is beautiful. Somebody wrote the book. Paul dictated the book, but at the end, Paul would sign his letters, and that was one of the seals of authenticity, because Paul had such large and bizarre-looking writing. People would say, oh, that sure is a Paul. It's not a Van Gogh. That is a Paul, no doubt about it. And it was a sign of authenticity. Verse 18, the grace of our Lord Jesus be with you all. He says, amen. And may it be with us all. And it is with us all. Let us pray together right now. Heavenly Father, we come before you. And Lord, we ask in Jesus' name this morning that you, dear Lord, would take the dynamic and truth of this epistle, these two epistles, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, as we close them out today, Lord, that you'd rivet our hearts to the truth of it all. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Lord, that we might be a discerning people in these last days, to not be sucked away or swept away by false doctrine, by the cunning of men. Lord, that we might be able to apply your word to our hearts and stand in these last days, and having done all to stand therefore, having ourselves girded about with all of the armament of the Spirit. Lord, make us a church that is true and true to form, not a presto magic type of outline that churches should be like, not a stereotype, but a real church, alive, ministering, humble, and approachable. Father, we commit this body and our hearts into your hands as we worship you now in Jesus' name.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called A Church Made Ready. Thanks for listening. Our hope is that the Lord gives you his peace in every situation you face in life. And we'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. The Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet? Think about it. Might be a great addition for all that you do with your smartphone or tablet every day of the week. Just go to your app store and get the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet, and that's pretty much going to give you all the access you need to everything that is Real Radio. You'll get all sorts of video and audio, some great downloads. Go to your app store right now and get the Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet, and stay in touch with us. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.